congestion with much thinner pilasters and more storefront across Canal Street.
It's much better than the previous application. The only comment that I would offer, if you can't get another one of those columns that you have in the middle repeating what's above, you've got a small one there for the pairs of doors, that you carry that on up through the transom, so that transom is not that 8, 10, 12 feet across there.
All right, so maybe subdivide the transom in that middle section.
As a minimum, I would prefer to see a column come down between the two doors, but if that doesn't work out with your plan, I'd be happy. This is so much better than the previous application.
Good.
It really is. And I didn't get to see the previous one, just looking at it here.
It's much more delicate now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think our issue with the two pairs of doors in the middle is getting the right width of doors.
Yes. So it's just...
But we certainly can do that in the transom.
Break the transom on up, just carry that mutton on up through there and break it to two transoms like you have two pairs of doors.
We're happy to do that.
Is there any public comment regarding 710 Canal Street? All right, there being none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
I'll move for approval of the application with the proviso that the transom be brought up, the center transom be broken into two separate transoms with the mullion between.
Then do we stop later, right? It doesn't need to come back to us.
Doesn't need to come. I think the staff can handle the submittal when it comes back.
Yeah.
I don't want to see it again.
No.
Everybody have to
see it again. You're good.
You don't want me to come back?
We like Heather better anyway.
I'm sorry. I'm the fill-in today.
Do you have a second?
I'll say.
Motion by Robert Candelaria, second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
The
My name is Melissa Room. I'm with Room Office, and the address is, we always call it 757 St. Charles, but y'all have a range. Y'all have a range.
This is an application for the renovation of a contributing rated three-story commercial building, including new storefronts and balconies in Lafayette Square.
Sure. So we are giving you guys a general overview of the project and where we're at right now. I would say we're gearing up for the design development phase. We really just want to get your feedback and see how we're doing. Just general overview of the building. I know most of you will be familiar with this because it's Blitch Neville's old office. But, you know, since the 1980s, it's been an office building. Before that, it served as a hotel. It was built in 1916. It was first the Alberta Hotel, named after the person who built it. And then it changed to the Castle Hotel in, I want to say, the 1930s. The goal of... the owner at this point is to return it back to its original use of a hotel, but kind of focusing on more of a large group STR concept for the building. So we've included in this packet that you all are looking at existing plans and then the proposed plans for the building. We have just going through the plan. I mean, do y'all want me to go through the plans quickly or just okay? I would say on the exterior, some of the larger additions or changes that we're making. If you look at the Julia Street elevation, which is on page 12 of the packet, we are proposing to add balconies on the second and third floor where existing balconies are already occurring. To match in kind. If you continue on to page 14, you can see the St. Charles elevation. The existing octagonal elevator and egress stair tower, we're proposing to clad it in a ribbed zinc material, and adding a small pop-up in front that allows public connection to the terrace on the second floor. So the idea is that the future cafe that's on the ground floor will have seating up on the terrace that people can access through that stair without going into the hotel proper and using the egress stair. Then if you turn one more page to page 15, the glass block wall, although it has a special place in my heart, is not the owner's favorite. So we are changing it out for a aluminum window system using Quaker windows, if you guys are familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to match the proportions of the glass lights elsewhere on the historic building with those.
So on page 15, that is not going to be the proposal. This is an obsolete proposal?
No, this is okay. The proposal, yes.
So you are proposing that this glass wall be done, or the owner is going to be changing?
The glass wall is existing.
Oh, okay.
It's a glass wall.
I was looking at existing conditions, and then I'm looking at proposed.
Yeah.
Right. So
that middle chunk is all glass block.
And I can tell you, it leaks like a sieve.
Yes. Okay. That's what they
I don't see anything.
When we were doing 730 Julia, our field office was in that building. So
oh, really?
I've spent 2 years dealing with the leaks and the issues.
So you know, I need to talk to you about
this. Very familiar with this building.
That's a general overview. Open to any comments that you guys have. Just one more note on the zinc clad tower. If you look on page 16 at the colored render, we're thinking of, you know, trying to break it up because it is a big mass. Mm-hmm. We're trying to have different depths of the ribbing so that it has kind of like a pleated effect to it mm-hmm. to kind of break it up a little bit. And, you know, again, open to suggestions.
Are you getting
tests? I was going to ask that.
No. We got a part one for the building, but I think the limitations on the interior in terms of what they're requiring us to save just didn't work with what the owner was looking to do. So,
I'm like, what's left? Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
what
you know
can I tell you to say?
The wall that's separating the offices from
that body.
So it's a really wide corridor, like at school. So, I mean, that was the issue in terms of like laying out. Yeah. We came up with some ideas, but it's just, it wasn't as attractive.
For your historical information, the building is older than 1916. That's when that facade was put on St. Charles and the two bumps next to it. But there are old photographs showing what it looked like before that change was made. It's a 19th century building. And there's no bearing on your application. I'm just giving you information.
Where? Because we did a lot of research on the
building. I'll have to look at my files and see.
I would love for you to send me that because, that would be really interesting. Because the person that built it, we found news articles of when it was built in 1916.
I think the sandburns will show those there and so forth, but it's a older building that gets remodeled, and that happened a lot in town. So.
Yeah, but I'd be super interested to see if you have that information.
And so y'all are also enclosing the terrace, like that portion of the terrace that could be open parking. You're extending that?
Not yet. They're thinking about it.
Okay.
But we would come back with another application if they do decide to do that.
I mean, I think that is a very nice update to a very dated facade, or portions of a dated facade. You know,
post-modern.
It is very feminine.
You know, while at the same time respecting the historic building. I mean, I think it's a very nice proposal. I don't have any comments. You know, I appreciate the distinguished between the new materials are clearly distinguished between existing materials, you know, both
very
in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
in the window treatment, so there's no false history.
Okay.
So
my only question is about the shape of the elevator. It's a little bit Art Nouveau, and I don't know if it has a place in it. It might be a little bit historicist in that building, but I do like the selection of the sink, etc. So
yeah.
I just struggle with dealing with that shape in particular.
So the zinc is obviously a rain screen.
Yeah.
And we're changing it to square. So that's what you're looking at, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just that shape.
The shape of the square or of the
pop-up.
The little stair.
Pop-up. Oh,
the roof.
Pop-up. Oh, I got you.
The little pop-up. The little rounded. I'm looking at
the rounded roof.
Mm-hmm. Paris metro thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mansa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's a very good intervention. And I really like this drawing.
Yes, I think it's actually quite beautiful.
Yeah.
I keep getting hung up on these little mansards, just because I love a mansard as much as the next, but I don't think there are a lot of them in this neighborhood, so I was just wondering if you had studied other options. And
yeah, we looked at flat. I think the inspiration behind both the interiors and exterior of the hotel is meant to be inspired by the streetcar and also inspired by, like, a Parisian feel.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where a lot of these inspirations are coming from. So it's like an industrial, but also, you know, the same
influencer. Yeah, so I mean, it did bring me to Paris, so that's
right.
I guess because it's on,
it's on St. Charles.
Well, and it's on a part of the building that's clearly not historical. It's clearly new construction.
So it's more permissive.
And
it's subordinated.
And so it doesn't bother me. And I can also see the challenges of trying to make a flat roof interesting there up against a blank two-story stair tower. So
it's tricky.
Yeah, I don't think it's flat. It's not what I would suggest. But I was just wondering if something else. But I like the connection to the street.
Yeah. That's how it would pitch.
Awesome. I love the zinc. I think it's really pretty. Taking that stair tower, though, turning it from the octagon to the square makes some big, flat surfaces. And it could be sort of overwhelming. I see you're playing around with vegetation or playing around with the panels. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to see what you propose on the panels that you guys play with, how you lay it out. Because it could feel really heavy and oppressive. Mm-hmm. It was just this big, flat surface.
Yeah. How would y'all feel about the vegetation, like if we did some kind of armature, like cables or like grate around it to allow the greenery to.
If it grows,
I think that's the hard thing in the past with green walls, sort of in this area, just not being able to grow, and that facade only gets morning light.
Yeah, so the one facing Gerard, it's north, so.
Mm-hmm. And just like, and it gets some shade. So I am not the person to give advice on greenery whatsoever.
I don't have it in my head. If you make it grow, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
But I just know that the challenge in this area in the past is getting enough light for vegetation to grow, just because of all the shadows and such. Mm-hmm. And being on the north facade of that particular building.
Yeah.
Might be tricky.
Jasmine seems to grow everywhere in New Orleans. Maybe get some jasmine too.
Yeah, there are certain low-light plants that you probably have to consider.
I'm not the person.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rely on vegetation to give that facade.
Correct.
Because
it will take 6 years to be there, right?
It requires maintenance, which we have no control over.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay, if someone wants to ask, is there any public comment? I have a couple of questions, specific questions. Can I do that real quick? Okay. Sorry. If you go to page 12, this is the Julia Street facade.
Mm-hmm.
The storefront at the Future Cafe, if we kept the rhythm of this historic storefront, would you guys be open to it being like sliders to be able to open?
I think we'd have to see it, how the knee wall relates and the treatment of it. So I think open to seeing it.
Okay. And then the small double doors to the left of that storefront area, are y'all okay with those being revised to be 36 inches so we can use them for egress?
Immediately to the left?
Immediately to the left.
I think, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need it for means of egress.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
But you might also check existing building code.
Okay. Thank you.
There might be something in there.
Which is here would allow you.
Are those even historic? Is that even a historic door opening? I'm just looking at the old photograph.
Yes, I believe so.
I mean, there is definitely an opening there. I don't see doors there.
Yeah, so the front used to be a dealership, like a car dealership, and then the back used to be a garage where I stayed working on the cars. So none of the openings towards the back of the building on the ground floor are original.
Correct.
The ones at the front.
A lot of car dealerships along St. Charles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was auto
right in there.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, is there any public comment regarding 753-59 St. Charles Avenue? All right, there being none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
I'm going to ask you a question. Should this motion be for conceptual approval for them to come back, or, I mean, there's been some discussion here about mansards are just going away and they want to come back with some other ideas, so
I think we're pretty content
with conceptual approval or approval?
I think conceptual approval with details to be worked out with the staff.
At this level, okay. Yeah. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Okay. And any additional changes to the ground floor openings coming back to?
Come back to us. But staff can handle the details of this conceptual approval is my motion.
Second.
We have a motion by Robbie Cantalosi and a second by Ashley Cantalosi.
Yes.
It is.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Yeah, John Farrell with Tower Engineering, 2920 Kingman Street, Metairie. Engineers from Verizon Wireless.
Thank you, staff.
This is an application for the installation of cellular equipment on a non-contributing four-story commercial building in Lafayette Square.
Would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Just that
Can
Verizon.
Can we get a packet?
Can you send the packet, please?
Yes.
I'm good with this.
Okay.
You don't want
it?
No.
We don't show it. Fine. I'm not seeing it.
Verizon is proposing three sets or three sectors of antennas, one facing Barone, one facing out toward Girard, and one essentially pointing up north up O'Keefe Street. All the antennas will be shielded or behind what we call a radome, a plastic cover. The antennas will be fully shielded, top, bottom, all sides.
And they're being placed either on the face of the building or on a parapet?
One is above the parapet, pointing north up O'Keefe, and the other two sectors are facade mounted at the roof line.
Is this 5G?
Yes.
Is there a reason why they have to be mounted on the facade rather than the back?
Yeah.
Essentially taking up real estate on the parking garage. The area, I guess, in the north west corner is the equipment area as well, and it's going to double as the antenna area.
So these are images of what the, these are renderings of what?
Renderings, yes.
Of what it'll actually look like?
Yes.
Would it be possible to have this one not be mounted on the facade? Because I don't think that would take away from parking. It's so distracting.
Yeah, like moving around the corner.
One beautiful parking garage in the entire city.
Yeah, it's very nice design.
That one on Girard is just, it's bothersome. Honestly, it's awful. It's a carbuncle on a really nice facade there.
The one beautiful parking garage.
I was going to call it a wart.
Okay. Oh, this one on the
lake. Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
And that one doesn't seem to be taken away from parking because that seems to be an overbuilt. Right?
Yeah.
So that, yeah, you can move around the corner or something.
We were unsure about, you know, it would project away from the wall. So it would appear to be like a bump out. I don't know how we would do that structurally. If the panels could support that.
But I also
don't see those panels are also
precast panels.
These are precast, and you're talking about plastic to match.
To match. It'll be painted to match. Those relief lines will be painted and duplicated onto the those covers.
But this can't move around the corner?
Just to the right?
Mm-hmm. Or on the parking side.
Or in the inside face of it.
I'm not sure how we would do that.
Yeah, there's no parking there.
The same, but
from, are you talking how you would do that from in terms of
an
signal?
Attachment method or
just the same wall of both sides?
Yes, the same. It's the same wall construction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the attachment would be the same. So is it a coverage issue?
No. Well, it could be, to be honest with you. I'd have to go back to Verizon and have them look at it. Their RF department. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're sitting on the exact opposite side of that stairwell, facing the garage space. See, that little piece right there. And just even if that went above the roof line, at least you wouldn't see it. I think we're happening right there instead of there.
Move this back to here.
Mm-hmm. So like behind the stair then?
Yeah, that could be a coverage issue. I would think it would be.
Or there.
So you're talking about the perpendicular wall or the wall directly behind it that you're moving it to?
Either.
Yeah, if it's there.
Yeah, that would be difficult. That would probably be a coverage issue from shielding. You can see.
What if you did it higher, like you're doing along this other facade?
Yeah, so it's just moving
yeah,
to that side.
If you moved it back, you can kind of see, these are the antennas. So
right. They're
trying to get this coverage out here. So if you moved it back to here.
Well, what if you put it on the roof here?
Then you get this shielding from the roof from this point to here. Now, would it be an issue? I don't know. I'd have to go back to Verizon's RF people.
I would say that it's worth asking.
I think it's worth asking.
It's on the same wall, but it's just not visible, as visible from the street.
Even if they were higher, like what you're proposing there.
Right. From here, move it up to here?
No.
Put it up on the roof.
Above the parapet.
Away from the front.
Yeah, so that you'd have coverage.
Right.
That you wouldn't be blocked in your coverage. Are these shields required? Sometimes I don't know whether the shields just make it look bigger.
This was just for an aesthetic purpose.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
Then we had those on the building, at least circle. They were not closed.
Yeah, this was just to kind of blend it in.
Right. I appreciate them on the Barone side. I just think that one on Girard is just so distracting. It's such a heavily traveled corridor, and it isn't attractive.
It is a nice facade.
And I think the idea of something plastic that's pretending to match isn't going to match.
UV is going to make it get yellowish. Well, the facade is going to be different, so it's going to be, over the years, it's going to degrade, right? The plastic is going to get yellowish, and the precast is going to age differently, so you're going to get even more eyesore.
Right. Whereas it's just a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's what it is.
But I think, like, if it's not shielded, it's in the either in the perpendicular side or even in the inside of that same wall.
And then if you've got to raise it up, you know, that.
And then it is what it is. It's equipment.
Right.
Yes.
Raise it up, but not on the facade of the front.
Yeah.
Right.
Push. as far back as we can. Yes.
Even, I don't know, even if you just turn the corner and it's on the other side exposed.
Right.
Right, like,
yeah,
like perpendicular to what it is, exposed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the panels aren't working, but I mean, I think you thought it worked okay on the Verone side, but I'm nervous about those panels.
Yeah, are we okay with them back here?
I did not.
I'm okay with those there. Because it's hidden.
Precast is fragile, right? Like, to like attach to precast can be tricky.
But I think they're concrete.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think they'll be fine.
I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, how are those things attached, by the way?
Shallow anchors.
Mm-hmm. If it was precast, if it would like the softer precast, but I think that these are
You remember there was a car that came up through one of those, right, in the other side.
I thought it was across the street.
From this building.
Oh.
On the other side, facing Southmark. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think these panels they're 5 to 6 inches thick, but we were shallow anchors.
We got the signage anchored into it, so I think it could.
Yeah, it could be fine. Those are things I pre-video things that way.
And then there's a bunch of stuff mounted to the back of that little bump up there too already. So.
Is there any public comment regarding 939 Gerard Street? All right, there being none, is there anyone discussion or is there a motion?
I move for deferral and so the applicant can explore some of these other options with Verizon and come back to us.
Second?
I'll second.
We have a motion by Robbie Candelosi and a second by Ashley King. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is Jonathan Street.
Thank you.
Charlie Ward, Rose Oswald Architects, 1100 Poitras Street.
Thank you, staff.
This is an application for the renovation of a contributing rated three-story mixed-use building, including a new storefront on Canal Street.
Yes, thank you very much. What we're looking at here is we have an existing, any one more?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Existing building 922, it's been significantly modified over the years. So part of our proposal and as part of this renovation is to restore, bring back the front facade closer to the, I don't have the patch, but the photograph that we kind of are using as our tax credit photograph, this one.
It's
here, you can have this one. So we're looking at, you know, renovating the three stories. We do have a rear addition on the third floor to the back that is not visible from the street. There is no rooftop addition here. This will be a tax credit project through SHPO and NPS. But our request to you here today is, you know, we are modifying the front facade. We are retaining the existing gallery on the first floor. And we have a new storefront that we're proposing to you to kind of try to bring the building back to closer to that historic photograph that we're using with NPS.
Have they signed off on the proposal?
Not yet. The part one is in process right now.
Do we have a copy of the historic photograph?
I'll tell you where it is. Page two?
Yeah.
At the upper part.
Yep. I've had the book.
So Charlie, are the windows being completely changed in proportion?
We are making modifications to them. You can see they. Well, actually, I take that back. Get my facts straight before I tell you that. No, the existing windows are remaining as they are. We are bringing back the entablature and the architecture around the surrounds of the windows mm-hmm. on Canal Street. But the windows are remaining as they are. There'll be some repair to them.
It just looks
Yeah, it's very stilted, very narrow. Something's wrong there.
I thought this building
would have looked like the building to the right side originally, then it got an Italianate update, but I think it would have started simpler, like the Greek Revival next door, but it looks like all the windows and all line up. But you're going on this historic photograph that the tax people approved, and that's a lot of stuff to reproduce, those window hoods and that cornice to get it all right.
Yeah, and then I guess in the ground floor, there needs to be a heavy transom bar.
Yes.
In the locations of the openings, I don't see it having any correlation to the historic photograph or historic openings.
And they don't quite line up with the gallery column.
And there's really no frame for the transom slab indicating if they could help. It's the column that's going through. I'm sorry.
This gallery's a later addition, right?
At some point.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not so concerned about the openings on the ground floor necessarily aligning with the balcony columns. But it does look like in the historic photograph there's some sort of a heavy transom bar over the doors.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm seeing.
Yes.
And I think that would help this elevation.
That is continuous.
Yeah.
It seems to be very thick and continuous, right? In the historic photo.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell because there's
But if you look at the right.
You can never get a really good historic photograph that shows you everything you want to see.
Yeah.
Something's always in the way.
Yeah, the awnings are always, but it looks to be thicker, for sure.
I agree with you,
And it looks to be kind of continuous, I believe. So it's not.
It's definitely.
I think you have to assume it's continuous.
From the right side, right? You see?
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's anything like the opening to the right of it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And of course, I think that storefront system was not contemporary when they did the Italianate renovation, so it's a third major renovation to the building.
Yeah.
And the wall surface at the ground level, plaster, that's what I'm seeing.
Yes.
Charles, what's driving the reconstruction of the historic cornice?
I'm sorry?
What is driving the reconstruction of the historic cornice? Because as it is, the current, like when you see the current condition,
yes.
It's kind of like all of those parapets are kind of aligning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see your drawing on page 9, then it kind of like it stands out very differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you actually need to do all of that.
Yeah, right now the current facade up there, something's missing. It looks like it's incomplete.
Gotcha.
So that's, and with the way the tax process is working, you know, they latch onto a photograph, and so this is the photograph they have latched onto. So our kind of discussions with them is that bringing back that entablature up there, that cornice.
And that's the only data that you have for what this cornice might have looked like? Do you have any?
Yes, all we can look.
So you're going to be reconstructing it based off of this one grainy photograph?
Yes.
Kind of
it'll be a contemporary edition. We're not replicate it for sure. So it'll be a contemporary edition to
my question then, if you're not going to be able to replicate the historic, and it's going to be something that's sort of a pastiche of historic, then it's neither here nor there. It becomes even more problematic.
Mm-hmm. But I don't believe the Park Service can require you to reconstruct something that's non-existing at the point the building was acquired. I don't believe that they can do that, especially if it's going to create a false history
of
the
end. And you also don't have sufficient data to know what it was.
Right, so it will create a false history.
Yeah.
We can certainly try that.
It's standards. I forget what standard, but it's right up there. Not creating
things
a false history.
Things are a little different these days.
I know.
It's a new world we live in.
I know.
I've never heard some of the marks.
Recently, someone told me
that they're trying to, I mean, really overreaching.
And then you're getting it 5 months after when you're needing, right?
I mean, they're doing research beyond our tax consultant.
We're all part of a Greek revival realm. I need to see in any of those.
Sure, it seems that some like graphic issues, which it seems like kind of easy to overcome, but when you look at the scale of these and the scale of the windows, something looks off. That, I mean, that's something that you guys can easily overcome, but.
We'll look into that.
Yeah. All right, at this point, I'm going to ask if there are any public comment regarding 922 Canal Street. Are there being none, are there any more discussion or is there a motion? It seems like that service is going to have to be
treatment of the ground floor. Have they had any comment on the treatment of the ground floor openings?
None, not yet.
Anyway. Okay. You were able to walk the building with Sheeple?
Yes. That's where, as you know, a lot of the initial comments are coming from Sheeple. Right. Mm-hmm. We're probably still a month away from anything. From okay. Yes.
Should we defer it until you get some more feedback from both Sheeple and NPS so we can be like, maybe second players to them because you are a historic taxpayer project. So
sounds good.
All right.
A second. A motion by Miriam Salas and a second by Ashley King. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
Thank you.
Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you
all.
Thank you.
Jason Whalen, Concordia, 1610 O.C. Haley Boulevard.
This is an after-the-fact review of the renovation of a significant rated three-story mixed-use building and construction of a one-story garage at rear without permits in Lafayette Square. In October of 2020, this came before the ARC. At that time, the ARC agreed that the addition needed a simple architectural detail at the parapet to define the top of the building. And you may consider the addition of a shading structure at the roof deck with details to be submitted to staff for approval. The window at the third floor may be infilled, but the frame should still be visible.
Just to catch you up on the permitting of this, we reviewed it, made comments, then the permit was issued, and the work was completed, and then the final was requested, and now we're reviewing the work that was done for retention purposes.
Would the comments be any different than what was done before?
Possibly because some of the openings are not in the same place, so and,
it's a different, they and some it of the material,
and some of the materials have changed as well.
Okay, would the applicant like to make a brief presentation?
Yes, this is the renovation and addition of a parking structure on the rear.
Can you pass the presentation?
I didn't get the memo about additional sets. I have a set that I can share with you.
Okay, we're gonna see it on there.
But I apologize for that. So it's an existing structure with the addition on the rear of the parking garage. As mentioned, we are seeking the approval of the as-built conditions, ARC conceptual approval from October 2020, and the HDLC conceptual approval from November of 2020. We had the project manager on our team left the office, and I believe Anna is no longer with HDLC. So there was some correspondence that I believe might.
The drawings were returned for revision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everything related to the permit was completed with the exception of receiving the final HDLC certificate of appropriateness.
Can we walk through what is different?
So on the rear, really the design and construction of the garage door and the adjacent door is different. On the second level, the slope of the glass above the doors and the side light is a change. And then also the finish on the exterior is, it's currently painted block, where I believe previously we had a stucco finish.
That back wall was also clad in hardy siding.
It was also what?
Clad in hardy siding where it was stucco.
The upper portion?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is clad in hardy. So, you know, as it relates to the views of this, the rear portion of this building, we know that it is off of a right-of-way in that back section, but the views from Baron are pretty minimal, and the garage, the slat garage door actually fits in with some of the similar garage doors and things along that right-of-way.
My mind is the difference in height between the garage door and the adjacent door. They're not quite the same, but not different enough.
Do we have a drawing or an elevation of what was
approved? Yeah, there's a approved. There's a previous drawing set in there. I put it in there.
It's in here.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
It shows the garage door going all there.
Right. Yeah, so it had a door, but it was right
so
up
like
against it.
It's like mimicking the garage door. And
yeah.
And seeing that the issue, like, well, the head had been continuous, right?
Yeah.
And the other comment that was made was that there is to be some sort of architectural termination for the parapets. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think we were showing any sort of detail for the parapet edge there.
There was a couple issues with the design as is. Where the door was located, that was actually a fire-rated corridor to the fire pump room. So there was no way to actually build that and still have a fire-rated corridor to the fire pump.
Yeah, we wound up adding that corridor in. Originally, it was all open. So now there is a wall that comes in between the garage door and the...
Yeah, so there's a hallway. As you enter that door, you walk through the hallway.
Mm-hmm. That's why the door had to go to the right.
Yeah, but right. you still have a heavier mullion.
Or the head still could align, right?
Right.
Which I think that... The eye is more driven to the hair's not aligning.
It's
than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that divider wall could have been not seeing you. It could have been different material than clad in brake metal. But yeah, it's the height and
the
change
height
of
that really. It's not.
And the difference in terms of material of that the garage door.
If you look, are there any photos of the existing alleyway?
Yeah, there were photos provided.
Are you talking about?
I mean, that, but also just every building along that back alleyway. I mean, it's not
a lot of that was done before we had jurisdiction, so we don't want to go back to bad things. I understand you're drawing the analogy there, but a lot of that was done before the HDLC for the CBD was created.
So the garage door is 8 feet high?
Correct.
And the
no, pass it's
is lower
seven,
than
it's
that?
It's 7 feet, the door is 8 feet.
And the door is at 8 feet?
Mm-hmm.
And the door's already installed?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Not in this picture.
Right.
Not in the picture,
right.
Where it's plywood or
the opening is,
We could put some kind of awning across the top of the garage to balance it.
But wouldn't you be in a public right of way?
Like some kind of trim piece. Kind of act as a rain screen in the garage.
There's some sort of architectural treatment that could tie the two together that they could submit, I think. It's the height difference that really gets me. And I don't have so much of an issue with the difference of the material of the party board or whatever. And I can't really see the pattern of the block in here. I know it's supposed to be stucco, but I'm not reading that very well in here. And I don't have a problem with that window above not being sloped.
That's
fine there.
What about treating the header above the garage door to actually
like
visually kind of pull it?
I was going to say, architecturally, you could visually do it there.
Like an applied lintel.
Submit something there to kind of tie the two together.
Okay.
Is it surface plastered? Or are we seeing CMU?
Well, that's why I have a hard time. We were told in the report
it's painted CMU.
Yeah. That's the last
you can see
really
it
thick coat of paint.
You can see it in this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the issues are the lack of the transom above the second floor window and door, correct?
Yeah. Triangular transom.
And there's sort of a consortium that were okay that it wasn't added. Is that a correct statement?
I don't have a problem.
I don't.
Brandon, do you have anyone else?
I don't have a problem.
No problem. Was that second floor facade, was it originally hardy?
Or it was stucco.
It was stucco. So it was stucco versus hardy. And I think the white trim piece is sort of the glaring issue with it.
Yeah.
So are we okay with it remaining siding, or does it need to be changed to stucco?
I personally don't think it needs to be changed to stucco. Yeah. That little detail on the end there, why the hardy goes with recess at the top part of the leader and at the end comes to the edge right there is very peculiar.
And the fact that it's painted white almost like celebrates it.
Right.
So paint could potentially...
I would paint it the same color as the siding to make it go away visually.
Okay.
The lack of stucco on the CMU, does it need to be stuccoed, parched, coat? So it's
at the minimum.
But can we do that over painted surface now?
So in the near future,
you can use soy gel to remove it.
In the near future, on the adjacent lot is going to be a new construction building. That's going to be hiding that entire facade, which is why we didn't paint that facade that where the color changes, because the new building's going to be abutting onto that building. It's just a long firewall. So you're not going to see most of that face. The only face you're going to see is the rear of the garage.
Brian, has that been permitted?
I'm not sure about that.
837 Barone, it got HLC approval.
It did.
Yeah.
And it extends all the way to the alleyway?
The rear of the property. It's going to match that that finish line.
Again, for last resume?
Too many addresses in my head.
Because it's going to be tough to remove the paint, but if there was sort of like a breathable masonry coating over it, which has a little bit higher build to help conceal, and you can put it directly over paint, but it also would help to protect that surface a lot better if you're going to have a new masonry wall up against it. So
we put elastomeric paint, and that's like what the Sherwin-Williams rep.
No elastomeric.
We don't approve elastomeric paint at all.
That is the worst thing that you could ever put on a wall.
Why?
Because it's non-breathable.
Well, it's CMU, though.
It'll basically deteriorate your CMU because of the water.
Was it applied to the front of the building?
No, just the CMU.
Which... with Sherwin Williams.
Yeah, then I don't know what Sherwin Williams.
Removing it from its buildings. I've removed it from churches in Gretna, Christchurch Cathedral and all. It's been removed from the Cabildo, the Presbyter, the Old State Capitol. It's against Park Service regulation.
The reason is because it's a non-permeable material,
right,
and especially with our climate, the water just gets trapped between the space of the CMU and that paint. And so it will deteriorate that wall so quickly.
Yeah.
I can show you buildings that it will just wreck that surface. You want to get it off of your building. And yeah, that's why I recommend if you do a breathable masonry coating, Prosecco makes one, Sherwin Williams make one, and it has a waterproofing agent in it, but it has a perm rating of like 0.2. or something, and so it does your waterproofing, but it also is vapor permeable, so you won't have those high yields.
Yeah, it's hydrophobic. It's a hydrophobic material.
Blue Bear Soy Gel will remove it, and that's been the most successful product to remove elastomeric coat. Blue Bear Soy Gel.
Yep.
It's made with soil. It's very friendly to humans and animals and all.
And it's not that expensive, shockingly.
I mean,
if you put it on, let it sit.
Are we recommending that he removes the elastomeric at this point?
I don't know if we can do that.
I don't think we can because the guidelines don't approve
it. Approve it.
I would highly recommend, just as a building owner, in terms of the lifespan of your project, I would remove it.
Okay.
And especially if there's going to be another building going up against it, that you will never be able to touch that wall again.
So you can be trapping water.
Use that, but yeah,
uh-huh. You can be trapping water, yeah. Right?
Okay, is there any public comment regarding 833 Barone Street? Hearing none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
Well, do we want an architectural feature to turn? I know they're going to be building up against the side there. Last recommendation, previous hearing, was that there'd be some sort of architectural feature to terminate that parapet. Do we want a projecting van on the alley side or something there?
It is an alley. I mean, if it's true that it's a building coming in,
on the alley, do we want any, like the building next door has a termination cap to it, do we want any sort of physical element?
I would think that the type the cap of is that still wall, needed. Just
physically it's needed, right? Like you're going to protect your perfect condition by having a cap, so it doesn't hurt your building to have a cap. Aesthetically serves a purpose, functionality serves a purpose.
What do you have up there right now? Just capping the wall.
Just a layer of concrete.
But
just smooth, yeah.
But water can be coming, like if it deteriorates, water could be coming on that parapet and getting into the cavity, right?
Right. Okay.
Which is the functional purpose of that cap, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that a motion?
What about the over garage door condition?
Well, I think that needs to be addressed and submitted back to us.
Seems like that could be addressed at the same time. You had little cap piece at the top of that wall, just on the alley side.
So I think it's a deferral for the applicant to come back for the architectural resolution of the difference of the height between the garage door and the pedestrian door, the termination of the top, and I think we can handle just by staff the painting of that white van up in that, so that kind of goes away.
Would it be possible to get an approval provided they submit what you requested?
Yes.
Y'all comfortable with that?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm fine with that. I'll change my motion.
Okay. because as you may imagine, it seems like the project can just go without a permit.
Yeah.
And the clutch. Okay, so that's your motion. Is there a second?
A second.
So we have a motion by Robbie Cangelosi and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Last application is 361 Calliope Street.
Good morning. I'm Mary Gilmore from Campo Architects, 400 Frager Street.
This is an application for new construction of a six-story.
I'd just like to take the
This is an application for the new construction of a six-story hotel building with ground floor commercial space on a vacant lot in the warehouse district.
All right, yeah,
would
you like to make a
brief
presentation?
Sure, I'll walk you through the printed document that we just passed out to note just a few points about this project. It's located in the warehouse district directly across from the convention center, situated immediately adjacent to the expressway, the overhead expressway. The immediate context you can see on page 3 are historic warehouse buildings, the convention center itself, the expressway, and a existing hotel. On page 4, we show a few more context photos that shows the geometry of the convention center building, the existing warehouses with their brick facades and punched openings. As well as the geometry of the expressway itself. On page 5, in addition to this historic context of the warehouse district, we have the more contemporary civil structures like the new transportation hub for the convention center, which is immediately adjacent to that expressway. And then on page 6, shows a little bit more of the materials in the immediate context. We have the historic warehouses with their exposed brick, the metal panels of the transportation hub, the masonry construction of the newer hotel that is adjacent to the site, and as well as painted wood on the warehouses. So that's the context that we're in. Page 7 has a brief zoning summary. The site is located in CBD 6, which is a multimodal pedestrian corridor overlay district. As we're presenting, the building use, height, setbacks, and massing are all entitled by right. So that's what you'll be seeing in this presentation. Page 8 is a brief timeline of this project. This project came before the ARC back in 2020 as a dual brand mixed use high rise development, a 16 story contemporary new construction project. That project went on hold in 2020, and then due to COVID economics, the project was reimagined as a 6-story single branded hotel, which is what we're presenting today. So we ask that this be reviewed as a new application, that previous application be disregarded. Page 9 shows the proposed stacking diagram and the massing. So this is again 75 feet, which is allowed by right. 6 stories also allowed by right. You can see the diagram on the left shows the allowable massing. We could have gone up higher to 125 feet had we done a 20-foot setback. But we chose to limit this project to the 75 feet, 6 stories. So it's actually lower than what's allowed by right. Page 10 shows the site plan with the primary entrance from Convention Center Boulevard, a new curb cut drop-off, which would be the only variance this project would need given the multimodal pedestrian corridor. That curb cut would be the only deviation from the zoning. There's an existing loading curb cut on Calliope that goes into the back alley that would remain. Page 11 shows the first floor plan, which includes public spaces for the hotel on the front side facing the convention center, a white box space, about a 5,000 square foot leased space onto the north of the site, and then the back of house functions in the rear of the building adjacent to that loading alley. Page 12 shows the second floor, which is populated with meeting rooms and a small terrace on the bottom right corner of this plan. That's an outdoor terrace that's articulated on the facade that you'll see a little further on. There's also a courtyard where this building turns into a U-shape as it goes up. Levels 3 through 6 that you can see on page 13 and 14 are the guest rooms, which stack. On the lower right corner on floors 3 through 5, there's a suite, which is articulated on the exterior. And then on the top floor, the 6th floor, there's a fitness center, again, with a small terrace on that corner. Page 15 is the roof plan. Just to point out, the mechanical yards are concentrated to the center of the building with a mechanical screen. So these are set back beyond the building height limit and beyond that setback. So they would really be almost invisible from the street. They're also situated between the elevator penthouse and the stair penthouse to really conceal that equipment. Page 16 is a brief summary of the design narrative. We explored a lot of iterations for the design of this new structure and wanted to play off of the idea of the intersection of these three arteries, the river, the convention center, and the Crescent City connection, into a woven textile-like pattern that you can see in horizontal and vertical bands on the facade. And then the corner stands as an anomaly of this woven intersection that reflects the different use within the building, those balconies. Page 17 shows some multiple versions that we studied, many, many iterations of this design. The first one being just chopping off 10 stories of that original design. We didn't think that that was successful in this context. We wanted to approach this as a more austere building and more contextual. So you can see we really explored multiple iterations, and what we're presenting today is the bottom right. Page 18 shows the east elevation, this is the primary elevation facing Convention Center Boulevard. You can see the scale of the existing hotel on the right and the scale of the elevated expressway on the left. The proportion and rhythm of our fenestrations are compatible with the punched opening of the context. The floor-to-floor heights do not align in order to keep this new construction within that 75-foot height limit. Page 19 shows the south elevation, which is adjacent to the expressway, again matching the rhythm of the punched openings of the historic warehouse, the grouping of two punched openings together, and some of that vertical banding to respond to that historic context. You can also see the service entrance separates that historic warehouse from this new construction building. Page 20 shows an internal facade from that alleyway. This is barely visible from the public right-of-way. And page 21 shows a stacking section where you can see the two-story height of that public space bar lounge, the back of house uses in the rear of the building, and then the stacking of the guest rooms above. Page 22 goes into a little bit more detail of the materiality of the facade. Brick is the primary material that we are proposing in three contrasting colors. Then we have small accents of metal panels. The louvers on either side are recessed behind the columns. Those are four mechanical units. And then a canopy that you see at the first floor storefront is an important feature of this hotel brand. The signage is still being developed. We'll present further details of that. Page 23 shows the same palette of materials on the south elevation. The corner piece is primarily brick. You see the dark gray color is meant to represent one shade of brick. We're looking at three different contrasting shades of brick, and then the darkest black is the only area of metal paneling. Page 24 goes into a little bit more detail of that three contrasting brick colors, and we're still reviewing some physical samples of multiple palettes, but the intent is to do three contrasting brick tones, with brick as the primary material. Page 25 shows a rendering of this proposed design showing the lighting massing, and you can see more of those horizontal and vertical bands showing that woven concept, and then the corner anchored by a framed out opening. Page 26 goes into a little bit more detail to present the concept of this banding, the interwoven bands of brick. Just to really show you the recesses and the shadow lines. This is a little more detail than is necessary at this point, but we wanted to show you sort of the depth of this design and just reiterate, we're only seeking conceptual approval at this point, but we wanted to give you some more information to chew on. So, that's it.
Thank you.
I like the concept of the woven. I think maybe, and I like the asymmetry of the corner. And I think that it's maybe the bays are a little bit too symmetrical, or maybe it needs just like a little bit more of that woven element at sort of the top and the bottom of those panels, or maybe playing with some, like it's so symmetrical compared to the corner. Mm-hmm. And I really, you know, and I like the corner and I like the concept, but I just think a little tweak here and there could emphasize that wovenness, you know, that weaving of the different materials a little bit more. And I don't know if playing a little bit with the symmetry of the placement of those windows or spacing or something might, you know, just, you know, help that connection.
How do we feel about the carved out ground floor?
I mean, given the context and the siding of it, you know, where it is across from, you know, that pedestrian plaza and the convention center, and the convention center is already carved out, I would say it doesn't bother me at that particular corner because the convention center has already set sort of a precedent for it.
Okay.
That's just me personally, but.
And it's going to be, at least on the corner, you're going to have some kind of a cafe or outdoor seating underneath the tower, is that
That's
right?
That's right, we're proposing so outdoor seating.
Helps enliven that, that space. I don't have a problem with it on the Convention Center Boulevard. I think it needs the room. The sidewalk needs the room, the breathing space there. It is on the Calliope side, you know, it is, those columns, exterior columns are very close to the glass. It's not really a walkway there.
Correct.
But I do like seeing the glass kind of pulled back. It would be nice if you could actually pass through there, but actually I don't think you even have a function for that. You know, it doesn't connect to a sidewalk or anything.
There is a large, if you look at the site plan on page 10, there actually is a large green space there that's owned by the city.
Yeah.
So ideally we would like to work with them on expanding that.
Do you have any concerns with the, I like the recess, but do you have any concerns about that homeless encampment, which is right across the way of coming in there? Because we always get this problem and people are trying to address the issue after the fact, and it's a retrofit, which doesn't always work. So I'm just raising that, because I mean, the city even has portaless hand wash stations and everything out there, so it looks like it's going to be there a while.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Your guest room windows, are those going to be operable? Is that what that horizontal band?
No, they would not be operable.
So I just look at the flat elevation and like look at those windows. That horizontal mullion is making the windows look kind of squat in there, and I don't see that line continuing anywhere else. Me personally, I think I'd almost like to see it gone away. So I see the vertical ribbon of the glass weaving in there.
Yeah,
throws me off a little bit.
I think that's a really good point.
And what is the glass storefront? Is it sort of an all glass, or maybe you haven't gotten to that point yet?
To that point yet. I would imagine it would be a framed storefront system, a traditional storefront system.
At first, I didn't like the corner condition, but the more I like it, I love it. When it was a real small image up front in the presentation, it was like, it makes sense.
And the only signage you're going to have on the Convention Center Boulevard side is above the canopy?
Above the canopy, and then a larger sign on that corner piece that would be visible from the interstate.
So the application is for conceptual approval, or what?
Yes, we are only seeking conceptual approval at this point.
I think your concern is it can be tweaked, huh, Ashley?
Yeah, I mean, I think the conceptual approval, program. Yes, and it's just a matter of tweaking some of those opening placements or where maybe additional bands. You know, I'm not going to design by committee, but
that's why I've been silent, just because I think I like where the building's going, but I feel like it's almost there in terms of the elevation strategy. So it'd be good to see another take on it.
Okay, let's do that. So make a motion for.
So moved.
Perfect.
Is there a second?
A second.
Sorry.
Do I sign it? You sign it.
You're
sign it.
so this is kind of...
It is good, actually.
Yes.
Well, one of them last two L's.
That's the
same hotel, yes.